Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ, Bucky, Rhett, back together here on a Monday. A lot of football to discuss here, guys. Rhett, you did not see a great game. IU Rutgers, so we're not going to ask you about that one for the entirety of this program. So take that take, crumble it up, throw it in the trash can. Buck, we're going to get to the game you were at in a little bit here, your experience there with the Jags. And we'll talk about what the Seahawks did to the Chargers, which I got a chance to see live. But I say we skip the happy chat and just jump right in here, boys. Are we good to go?
All right.
We're good.
All right, let's go Big Three. Let's go Big Three. Big Three games here. Chiefs, 49ers. This is a game, golly, what a statement win by the Kansas City Chiefs. 44-23, Rhett, this was a clinic on the offensive side of the ball and maybe as good as we've seen Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid on the same page, and that's saying something.
No, I tell you what, I mean, it was back to that explosive Chiefs offense that we're kind of used to seeing. I went back and looked, 12 explosive pass plays alone in this game. That's 15 plus yards in terms of production, and they went for 322 yards. So 12 explosives, accounting for 322 yards. That's 75% of Patrick Mahomes' entirety of the passing yardage in that game. So it was a big part of it. And you look at, they did it a lot of different ways. They understood that this is a defense that can get after you with Nick Bosa and company. So they moved the pocket a little bit on some of those explosive. They got the ball out quick on some catch and runs with Travis Kelce. They also did that a little bit with Juju Smith-Schuster as well. And then they moved the pocket, as I mentioned. But there were a couple of these, like almost half of their explosive plays, where Patrick Mahomes is either straight back drop backing and not getting any pressure on him, and he's having time to pick apart the defense. And essentially, either it's Mahomes, Kelce, Juju Smith-Schuster winning their matchups. Essentially just saying, my guy is better than your guy. I don't care how well you play this. I trust my guy to go make the play. They did that a number of times in this game. And then they had a couple of beautiful play designs as well, as you'd expect. They schemed a couple of those explosive plays open for sure, like they always do. And then I'd say about on two of those, the 49ers were just played either bad coverage, bad technique, or it was a bad defensive call based on what the Chiefs ended up doing. So it was a really mixed bag in there, but that paints a pretty good picture to me of what the Chiefs can do with this offense moving forward against really good defenses. They can scheme you open, and then they've got the dudes that can just straight up beat you even when you have a good call for what they're lined up to do.
You know, it's funny, Red, you talked about these guys being able to scheme it up. I think this was part of the vision that Andy Reid had when they moved on from Tyreek Hill. They felt like they had enough weapons, or they could acquire enough weapons to make this offense work without necessarily a blue chip or a high-end player on the perimeter. Because the quarterback is a guy that has gold jacket credentials, gold jacket talent, they believe that he can elevate those around him. And what we're seeing, particularly against the San Francisco 49ers, Patrick Mahomes can absolutely do that. Pinpoint passing, outstanding playmaking, putting the ball in the right spot. Man, when you have players who can get open, and they don't have to be the best players on the planet, it allows those guys to have a lot of success against the Niners. It was Juju Smith-Schuster being able to get busy. It's Travis Kelce always being able to get busy. It's the running backs being able to catch screen passes and make things happen. It is a, you know, the collection of parts on the outside combined with the quarterback that allows this team to run and function at a high level. The San Francisco 49ers got a taste of what the AFC could get as this team continues to develop the chemistry and continuity needed to be a title contender.
And I know all the yards and points this Kansas City offense has put up over the years since Mahomes has been there with Andy Reid. And I don't say that flippantly and when I say this is the most impressed I've been with this group because of the quality of the opponent, the defense they were facing, and how easy they made it look. We always talk about third downs, the money down. They're 6-9 on third down, and two of the three they didn't convert. One was a kneel down, and one Mahomes wasn't in the game. It was late. You got your backup out there on the field. So they were darn near perfect. You guys have touched on it. There was a good mixture of moving the pocket. They hit some screens. Yeah. There's a third and one early in that game. We ran the highlight of it with Kelce. His little rub route, get him out in the flat. Ends up being an explosive play. It just felt like Andy Reid was in a groove. Mahomes was dialed in inside the pocket, outside the pocket. When they're clicking like that, you've got no shot. I mean, I don't care if Tyreek Hill's there or he's not there, but when you're quarterback, go ahead, Rhett.
Yeah, because you talk about scheming some stuff open, and you talk about their ability to beat whatever defensive call is out there. But if you're the 49ers defense and you're facing a third and 20 from the Chiefs, a team that already screens the heck out of the ball in a number of different ways anyway.
It's screen or draw.
Right. And still on third and 20, you send a three-man rush. So it's like it feels like you're anticipating that they're going to be in some sort of screen look, and you still allow them to convert that. Man, that's just bad defense. Like, and look, I get it. The Chiefs are good in that way. They have good players, but that's bad defense.
But even that, like the subtlety of that play that you're talking about, instead of having the back in the sidecar next to Mahomes, where it's easy as a defense to see him and you see the screen develop and you can react. Right. And Buck, you know this, when you're playing on the defensive side of the ball, they put him snug up in the line of scrimmage. He's on the hip of the tackle. So he's chipping Bosa, and you're thinking, okay, this is a chip release. We've seen that a million times, an obvious passing down. It's going to give a little help on Bosa, and he's going to release out to the flat. He chips him and just replaces him, and you hit the back with the screen, and off you go. So even though you can say, oh, screener draw is coming, Buck, that's what Andy Reid's so dang good about. It's still not as easy to see the way he dresses it up.
No, it's not easy to see the way he dresses up. And he is a masterful play designer. And the screen game is something that we thought they would get back to. That's how they played back in the day when they had Jamal Charles. It was a lot of the screen game that created the explosive plays. And as they get down the line, I think you'll see that continue to be a very prominent part of their game plan because they have capable players in the backfield that can get it done. I just think that this Chiefs team is, I'm not saying they're better, like a little bit of addition by subtraction, but I do believe that in moving on from Tyreek Hill, it's allowed them to diversify their approach. And because they're a little more balanced, they're a little more diverse in who touches the ball, they're going to be a more difficult team to defend when we get into the postseason because you can't hone in on just one player.
No doubt. And I want to hit on one positive here for the 49ers, Christian McCaffrey in his first game there. The box score looked okay. Trust me, this is going to be big for this team. When you go back and watch those snaps, the 23, 24 snaps, whatever it was, I charted 7 times in the pass game where he's wide open, the ball didn't come to him. There eventually, Jimmy's going to get comfortable, and they're going to start directing him, whether they got to do it in his helmet before the snap or they're going to do it in the week of preparation. But this ball has to go to Christian McCaffrey. He's open, he's out in space, and he's going to be a problem for defenses. I thought he ran the ball well. You can see the burst. I thought he ran with some power. But there's upside there. And when you watch that tape with the screen game and swinging him out, it's going to expand the field horizontally for this offense. This is going to be a big deal for them. So that's one positive you can take out of it if you're the 49ers. So let's get to this next game here on the list. We got Packers, Commanders, kind of a shocking one. Commanders pulled this one out 23-21. Before I tee you guys up on that, let's get a little sound here. I want to hear Aaron Rodgers, what he feels like the state of the Packers are at this point in time and what's ahead of them.
I'm not worried about this squad. In fact, this might be the best thing for us. This week, you know, nobody's going to give us a chance. Going to Buffalo on Sunday Night Football, the chance to get exposed, shoot, might be the best thing for us.
That's one way to look at it.
I was thinking of, by the way, you remember when they went to, I believe it was the COVID year, they went to Arizona when Arizona was rolling and he was shorthanded. Yeah. And then Aaron Rodgers went, I think it was a primetime game, and he put on a show. So he does enjoy these moments. I anticipate we'll probably see a little bit better from them. But before I get over to you, Rhett, to me, the takeaways are plentiful in this game. They ran the ball 12 times for 38 yards. They had a long run of 8 yards. You go back to their last few games, there's so few runs, over 10 yards. There's just no explosive plays in the run game. When I went and watched them, and trust me, it didn't take long to watch those 12 carries. They get no interior push. Everything that they want to do is to the perimeter where they have some success, but they can't move people inside. And, you know, I kind of go back and look at Corey Linsley, and when he was there for this football team and how important he was, his ability to get up to the second level and get outside and do some unique things. I know he's been gone for a couple years now, but I was just watching this group and saying, man, they don't get a lot of physicality, a lot of push, and I don't think this is a very physical team, right?
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. And look, I think, you know, maybe you think about the lack of continuity that they've had up front in the last more than a year, really, going back to Bakhtiari's injury, Elgton Jenkins' injury. And even as Bakhtiari's come back, it's just kind of, he's kind of been shuttling in and out of the lineup in terms of what that knee can handle. And so I'm sure they've shuffled pieces around that maybe has influenced, but you're absolutely right. Did not generate any push on the interior. On the flip side, though, in the pass game, they didn't allow a sack. Aaron Rodgers didn't take a hit in this game and only allowed one pressure. So it's not like he was under constant duress. Now, I'm sure that there were some times where he felt like his process was sped up a little bit just from the threat of Montez Sweat and those guys. But I went back. This is the first time in the history of Aaron Rodgers starting for the Green Bay Packers that they have not converted a single third down. 0-for on third down in this game. 0-for-6. Didn't convert any fourth downs either. And you go back and you look at a couple of them. Well, the majority of them were third and longs. So you're already behind the eight ball on that one. Third and 10, third and 11, third and 25, third and 13. Didn't get any of those. But on the third and manageables, right? A third and 4, very first one, first drive for the Packers. Alan Lazard just drops a would-be conversion. All right. If Devontae Adams is in there, yeah, sure. It's probably a catch. I don't know if you can make that kind of comparison there, but that's something you think about, right? On another third and 2, you have Watkins and Dobbs working a little mesh spot concept. Dobbs just sits down right there, a yard past the marker. And Rodgers was a little skittish in the pocket there. He misses Watkins emerging late, which maybe a couple of years ago, he probably takes that chance. Here, though, he hits it right to Dobbs. No real pressure. It would have been a tough catch. Dobbs can't make it. So I just think that there's like the margin for error is so much slimmer now with this Packers team, especially on the perimeter with the wideouts that they have, not being named Devontae Adams, that it's making things just a bit more difficult in that regard. They had 7 of their 10 drives in this game lasted 5 or fewer plays. Like that's just not winning football. And when you're not able to run the ball as well, like you were talking about, DJ, it's really a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, when you think about this Packers team, and I think the part that is maybe troubling for me is that Matt LaFleur hasn't embraced the running game. You have a bunch of unheralded playmakers on the outside, a bunch of new guys who aren't able to get it done. But the thing that you can do to create opportunities for them is run the football and use some play action. They're not committed to running Aaron Jones or getting it to A.J. Dillon. And because you don't do that, it makes it very, very difficult for Aaron Rodgers to throw against loaded coverage. And so to me, some of this is on the development of the young guys, but a lot of this falls to Matt LaFleur. As the coach, this is the first real adversity that he's faced as the coach of the Packers. What is he going to do to solve some of these problems? What can he do from a design standpoint to help their young guys get free? What can he do to really help Aaron Rodgers have easy opportunities in the passing game? To me, It's on Matt LaFleur to wear the big sombrero to find a way to figure this out. Because if they don't figure it out, they're going to fall so far out the race that, man, they're going to be playing for wild card bursts. And I don't know if this team is going to be good enough to climb that mountain against some of these other teams in the NFC.
Yeah, and as we move on, hey, hat tip to the Washington Commanders. This is a team that's just a game under 500 and kind of a watered-down league right now. Very much in the mix here and still alive even without their quarterback and Carson Wentz. So nice job by Coach Rivera and that group. Let's move on. Bucks, Panthers. Man, this was maybe the most shocking result of the weekend. Just the futility here of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Put up 3 points against a team that's already traded their best player in Christian McCaffrey, kind of waving the white flag. They've already let go of their coach, and you lose 21-3 to that team, to the Carolina Panthers. Let's get some sound here from Todd Bowles after the game about just how bad it is right now for the Bucs.
We have to wear this on our sleeves. They got to be grown men. We're going to see what we're made of, how many people can handle adversity. And this is about as dark as it's going to be right now.
Rhett, I'll give you the floor on that one.
Oh, thank you for that, to follow Coach Bowles there. And, you know, I will say it's kind of, you know, you think back to some of the things when you watch this Bucs offense that they had done in recent years when they'd been successful with Tom Brady as their quarterback. It felt like a well-oiled machine, right? When they were really rolling on that, whatever it was, 7-game win streak leading into the Super Bowl year. Man, it just felt like there was nothing you could do to slow down that offense. Had the run game going, you had the pass game going, and you had these elite targets and Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. But here's the thing, like, and this was the picture of the day to me for the Bucs. Opening drive, they get the first down. Brady finds Chris Godwin, 10-yard catch, boom, first down. Move the chains immediately. Move the sticks. And then the second set of downs there. You got a perfect play call from Byron Leftwich here, right? It's they got a play action on Leonard Fournette. There's no deep safety. Mike Evans one-on-one with Dante Jackson physically runs right through Jackson, forces him to fall down. Brady lofts a perfectly placed deep ball about 50 yards downfield. It's an easy touchdown, and Evans just drops it. And you wonder if on that first possession, they're able to find that explosive play touchdown to kind of jumpstart things, get things rolling. Does that change the picture of the day a little bit for the Bucs? Maybe. But they're a good enough team to be able to overcome that. Although it just feels like there's one thing here, Bucky. There's one thing that derails a play each and every time, right? It's Leonard Fournette misses or whiffs on a blitz pickup. It's the tight end falls down on an easy third down conversion, running a dig route on the inside, a tight end that's not named Cam Brady or Rob Gronkowski. You get pressure from Derek Brown, whereas if Tom Brady has another split second to throw the ball, it's a conversion and completion, and they're moving the sticks and they're moving downfield. It's just like little things here and there that feel like they're derailing this team and this offense in particular.
Yeah, the lack of execution is really surprising for a team that's really a veteran-laden team. A lot of older guys, a lot of guys who have played a lot of football, they should understand how to play and play together. Regardless of whether Tom Brady's missing some walkthroughs or those things, this team has more than enough veteran talent to be able to make it happen, and they're not getting it done. And so, to me, I just wonder, where's the disconnect? What is really going on where this team is not playing and functioning at a high level? Coming into the year, we thought this offense was going to roll because Tom Brady was going to have full ownership of the offense. And we were going to see maybe that New England playbook pop up, but it's not happening. And it's not happening for, I guess, maybe a myriad of reasons. They're just not on the same page. And so when I look at this team and I look at what Todd Bowles is talking about when he talks about this team being in a dark place, they're going to have to dig down and do some soul searching, because the only way they're going to pull themselves out is because all of these guys, all 53 on the roster, are going to have to commit to playing great football. And right now, we're not seeing that from the Buccaneers.
And one thing I'll close this out on, guys, you want to talk about how average the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have been? Their point differential is zero. Okay, like literally even Steven in terms of what they're scoring, what they're giving up. It's all day average, but I'm telling you, the rest of the league is going to screw around. They're going to let this Tampa Bay team, which, by the way, at 3-4, still tied for first place in their division, they're going to let them hang in this thing. And there's enough good players led by the greatest of all time at quarterback that if they can just kind of find themselves as they get into the tournament, You look at their personnel, you look at their front on defense, you look at what they can do with some of their weapons and Tom Brady, you think people are going to be lined up wanting to play this team in the postseason if they get it figured out late in the year?
Hey, shoot, if I'm Todd Bowles, I'm clipping this off. I'm playing this in the team meeting today. Like, you just fired these dudes up. Like, all right, we are good. Hold on a second. We can do this. I'm playing this in the team meeting today. That's good stuff, DJ.
Yeah. They just need to get in the dance, man. They got to figure it out by the end of the season and get in the dance, and I'm telling you, they'll be a dangerous team. All right, we're going to take a little break here. We had a couple quarterbacks who returned after injury in Week 7. Some big names. We're going to break down their performances right after this.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50. And it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi on a network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls. Finish up that presentation or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
NFL Plus is the league's new exclusive video streaming subscription service. NFL Plus has your game day covered with live local and primetime regular season and postseason games right on your phone or tablet. NFL Plus is available in the NFL app and at NFL.com. Subscription plans start at just $4.99 a month. Fans can visit plus.nfl.com and sign up for a free trial of NFL Plus today. All right, we had a couple quarterbacks that had missed some time. They're back in action. We get a chance to watch them and break down the tape. when you look at Tua and him coming back to the Miami Dolphins and what that looked like against the Pittsburgh Steelers, as well as Dak Prescott finally back in the lineup for the Dallas Cowboys, who did a nice job and made a nice run without him. He was back against the Lions. Let's start here with Tua first, guys. Going back and watching that tape, the things that I always, you know, liked about Tua and the things that got me excited about Tua, I saw him, Buck. I saw the ball handling. Everything's done really quick. Ball handling, quick feet, quick release, quick decisions. I thought everything picked up right kind of where he left off from that standpoint. Now, they weren't explosive. They weren't super dynamic. They didn't put up a bunch of points. But I thought he kind of looked like himself, and that was encouraging. He's going to beat you with anticipation, timing, accuracy. He's not going to beat you, you know, with just big-time power throws. I thought that was on display against the Steelers. Did enough to win the game.
Yeah, good enough to win the game. And what I like about this offense, I think you see the difference, because there are a lot of naysayers and critics on Tua Tagovailoa. But I think after watching the backups have an opportunity to drive this offense, it is much different when Tua's at the helm. Ball comes out quick. He gets it to the playmakers in an area where they're able to run after the catch. And it's not a coincidence that when you look up, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle combined for 160 receiving yards. They were able to do it on 11 catches. And this offense stretches you not only vertically, but horizontally. It's a tough matchup when you're dealing with the Miami Dolphins when Tua Tagovailoa is at quarterback.
Yeah, and I want to go back to what we thought of Mike McDaniel, right, as an offensive assistant in that Kyle Shanahan system and following, you know, that Shanahan philosophy throughout his entire coaching career. Now in his first chance to be a head coach, kind of thought early on you'd see more of that run game, right? More of that physical presence that we saw at times in San Francisco. Really didn't through the first couple of weeks of the season. It was more about getting the ball to Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, which, look, I can certainly understand. And now, though, in the last 3 weeks, they've really started to kind of put the pieces together up front in the run game. Raheem Mostert, guys, starts to me feels like the guy that was such a crucial piece of the 49ers Super Bowl run back in 2019. I mean, like his short area quickness and his ability to slash and burst through those zone, through the holes in those zone schemes, especially as you get him like on the edge of the tackles there. It's just so impressive. I mean, the O-line felt like in this game a bit more that physical presence that you were kind of accustomed to seeing with the 49ers over the years. 10 of their 15 explosive runs on the season have come in the last 3 weeks. They've been up closer to 30 rushing attempts per game in each of the last 3 weeks. And the Steelers even had to go to like a bare front to try to slow down that run game at the end to get the ball back to their offense to try to come back and win that game late. Here's another thing that's interesting. Connor Williams was the best offensive lineman on the field in that game. He looks like a completely different player at center. He was the most physical dude that I watched. And like just watching the runs and watching Connor Williams up there, I'm like, man, I wonder what the kind of the perception of him was from an analytical basis going back. So I went back and looked at what his grade was. I had a 93 run blocking grade from Pro Football Focus in this game. And I know the Steelers rush defense is not what it used to be, but that's pretty impressive from a team perspective offensively running the football. And then for Connor Williams, whose perception of him was maybe wasn't the most physical guy up front there in Dallas. So I think that's all good news, not just for this offense, but for Tua as well.
Yeah, I think it is great news. And I think it was great news on a day in which they were celebrating the 1972 perfect team that they're able to run the football. Because ultimately, as excited as we get about Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and Mike Gesicki on the outside, the Miami Dolphins are going to be a problem for teams when they're able to run the football. And Mike McDaniel being able to get in his bag and really have a creative running game, that is the part that can separate them from others in the AFC. And so as they lean into the ground attack, as Rhett, you are able to speak to with the stats, as they lean into the running game, this is when this team becomes dangerous because they can go ground and pound, and then they can throw it over your head with an explosive aerial attack.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun division to follow. You know, as we get to the second half of the season, the Jets had some injuries. Breece Hall being a big one. It's confirmed this morning he tore his ACL. But they're off to a hot start. Obviously, the Buffalo Bills are doing their thing, and New England's going to be there. You know, they're going to be there at the end. So it's going to be fun to watch Miami and the rest of those teams there in the AFC East. All right, let's get to the Cowboys. Dak Prescott's back. He's back against the Detroit Lions. I'll lead us off on this one, guys. You know, watching the tape, the first thing I want to see, number one, just how the ball's coming out of his hand. I thought he threw the ball with tremendous velocity. The things we're accustomed to seeing from Dak, where he doesn't have to have his legs He can be, kind of have pressure in his face, not be able to step into throws, falling off throws. He could still really drive it. Now, what you're seeing on some of these clips, and he even said it in some of the comments after the game, a little bit overconfident, but I'd rather have a quarterback coming off a right thumb injury be a little bit overconfident trying to jam balls in tight spots than somebody who's, you know, just really concerned and worried about how he's going to be able to grip the football. So it wasn't a clean performance from Dak Prescott, but I thought the ball jumped out of his hand, and I like the fact that Buck, he was attacking in this game. He wasn't sitting there taking checkdowns and trying to really protect himself and see what he had with his thumb. He came out there to grip it and rip it.
You know, I like that, and I like that from Prescott. But what I really liked was that Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy didn't deviate from the formula. This is a team that has found its identity while Dak Prescott was away. This is a team that plays complimentary football. Defense sets the table. Offense runs the ball. Quarterback needs to make a handful of plays. When you look at the way the Dallas Cowboys have traditionally won the division, that's how it's been with Dak Prescott under center. Going back to his early days, his rookie year, they were able to run the football with Ezekiel Elliott, complimentary passing game, defense playing at a high level. That is what they have to do now. And so even though Dak Prescott is well compensated, he's a $40 million man, the Cowboys stayed disciplined, ran the football, leaned on the defense, and eventually they ran away from the Lions. This is the way that this team has to play. But it is a luxury to have a high-end quarterback in the fold because he can make a handful of plays that allows them to win those games that are tight down the end. But the formula needs to remain the same for the Cowboys going forward.
Anybody got a dictionary handy? Anybody? Anywhere? Dictionary? Because when you look up...
It's called your phone, Rhett. It's 2022.
That's right. Sorry. Yeah, that's with respect to our good friend Webster, they do still print those things. So when you look up complimentary football in a dictionary, it will say see Cowboys versus Lions, October 23rd, 2022. I'm glad you mentioned that, Bucky, because that is the formula. The defense does set the table.
Do you use maps?
I have an almanac. Yes.
Maps like a Frommer guide. Yeah. I'm just curious.
I have a road apps.
I'm really curious to see where this is all going. Okay. Nice.
But look, the defense is what makes this team go. And that, I don't think that's disrespect at all to Dak Prescott or to what the offense ultimately does for the Cowboys this year. They are an aggressive defense. Dan Quinn is absolutely, has this defense rolling. I think we've obviously seen that whether Dak's in or out of the lineup. And in this game, I mean, it took really until the third quarter, but this defense started turning the football over, right? They started turning it over. They were putting heat on Jared Goff. And then you had the secondary making plays. They picked him off. Every touchdown the Cowboys scored in this game came directly off a turnover that the defense forced. Happened on the first possession, Lions' first possession of the third quarter. Had an interception, turned that into a touchdown. And then on back-to-back possessions in the fourth quarter, they absolutely sealed the deal with a sack fumble return, an interception, and the Cowboys turned both of those into touchdowns. I mean, if I'm reading this correctly, 1, 2, 3, 4... 5 of the Lions' last 6 possessions ended in turnovers. That's pretty good complimentary football with the offense taking advantage of those extra opportunities, DJ.
Yep, no doubt. Defense has been great. And to kind of put a bow on it here with Dak Prescott, averaged 10.5 air yards with the next-gen stats, which was the highest average the Cowboys have had this year. So that's a difference. When he gets back in the lineup, you're going to be able to take some shots down the field. That's good to see there with Dak Prescott. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to find out if Bucky's dog killed the Amazon delivery guy, and we're going to dig into a couple games we saw live. So stay tuned.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. You can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game winner I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my
game. That's my game, bro.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50. And it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi on a network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls. Finish up that presentation or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
All right, let's get to a couple games we saw live here. Bucky had the Jags and the Giants. We're going to get to that one in just a minute, some of the takeaways there. I was at the Chargers-Seahawks game, a game that the Seahawks really dominated from start to finish. It was impressive, and doing it with so many young players. We've talked a lot on the show about Tariq Woolen and the job he's done. He had a great matchup with Mike Williams. Won some, lost some, but a real competitive effort from him. Kobe Bryant, another rookie on that defense, playing well. Boye Mafe was out there. You've got the two tackles in Cross and Lucas that are starting for this football team. But the biggest takeaway was Kenneth Walker, the running back out of Michigan State, their second-round pick, was the best player on the field. And the Chargers had absolutely no answer for him. You see 168 yards and two touchdowns. He had five explosive runs, including this long one, I believe, 75 yards or whatever this one was, taking it to the house. We hit 22 miles per hour. I believe it was the fastest speed we have on a ball carrier so far this year, according to Next Gen Stats. You know, when I look at his game, Buck, the combination of rugged, quick, and then to me the instincts, those things don't always go together. When you have the big time, you know, suddenness, you have the power to go with it. A lot of times those are straight line guys. They can't make people miss, or they don't have vision. This guy's got everything. I mean, they haven't really used him yet in the passing game, much like we saw at Michigan State. We wanted him to get more involved there. I think that's going to come. But this is like giving me some Jonathan Taylor-type vibes, the way he's running the football right now.
You know, DJ, it's funny you talk about Kenneth Walker, because I'm looking at the Seahawks, and I feel like it's a little bit of deja vu. Back to the early 2010s, when this team emerged as one of the best teams in the NFC. And part of that emergence came when they had a solid foundation from a draft class that was loaded with talent. So you rattled off all the names of the rookies that are making contributions. And I'm looking at these young guys. You got two young tackles playing well. You got two cornerbacks that are playing well. You have all of these young guys getting it done. But then I'm looking at the quarterback in Geno Smith. And Geno Smith has become what I call a game manager plus. He's doing a really good job of taking care of the football. He's completing over 73% of his passes. Passer rating is solid. He has an 11-3 touchdown to interception ratio. And so he's doing what a young Russell Wilson did when they had Marshawn Lynch and they were really running the football. I'm not saying that this Seattle team is going to make the playoffs, but what I am saying is that I think Pete Carroll has some new energy because he's able to play the game the way that he wants to play, because there's a new set of castoffs, misfits, guys that were unheralded playing the way the Seattle Seahawks prefer to play. And it's been refreshing to watch this team surprise everybody with their style and their production.
Yeah. And when I look at the Chargers, the good vibes are not there offensively. And, you know, how much of this is, and DJ, I'll come back to you on this here. How much of this is, you know, the continued recovery from the rib injury of Justin Herbert, you know, the loss of Corey Linsley for a bit of time. And now, you know, you're still dealing with the loss of your Pro Bowl, you know, rookie left tackle from a year ago, who we expected to take even more strides coming in to his second year. And it doesn't feel like there's that efficiency, and Herbert's ability to kind of push the ball down the field hasn't been there as much in the last couple of weeks. Like, what do you make of where this Chargers offense has been?
Well, it's been a slog. I mean, they'd won three games in a row coming into this one. They're still sitting at 4-3. But Rhett, you know, Herbert coming off that injury has not been the same guy. And some of it has to do with the fact, look, you don't have, you know, Rashawn Slater. The offensive line's been a little leaky. They cannot run the ball at all. So you're in a position where you're throwing it a bunch. In this game, they're chasing points. But, you know, look, Joe Lombardi's caught a lot of heat saying everything's underneath and they're not stretching the field vertically. There were some opportunities early in this game with DeAndre Carter where I thought, you know, Herbert, when he's really rolling, is going to take those shots and be aggressive.
Yeah.
He hasn't really been dialing those up. So I think he's lost a little bit of his aggressiveness over the last few weeks. And then, look, let's face it. There was a key down yesterday, guys. And, Buck, I'll go to you on this one. But there's a key down in this game where you look out onto the field, and they've got Jason Moore, they've got DeAndre Carter, they had Trey McKitty, and they had Michael Bandy. That's who they were throwing the ball to. Keenan Allen only played a handful of plays in this game. He's still not right from his hamstring. Mike Williams went down, got hurt in this game. You know, Donald Parham hasn't been playing. Like, they don't have the firepower. And I think the other thing is, a name that people probably aren't familiar with is a guy named Jalen Guyton. He went down with a season-ending injury early in the season. And what he was, and he didn't have a ton of production, he had speed. He could take the top off the defense. They don't have that right now, and the field has really shrunk.
Yeah, the field has shrunk. They are playing half-court basketball at the YMCA. And until they're able to recognize what the issues are and then maybe flip into more of a ground-centric approach with Austin Ekeler and some of the other guys playing pivotal roles, it'll be tough for them to generate the big plays in the passing game. And so they have the bye week coming up. And so maybe they can not only get healthy, but maybe they can reassess who they are and what their identity needs to be, not only on offense, but on defense, because this team, despite all the injuries, they're still too talented. They have the struggles that they've really been displaying over the last couple of weeks.
No doubt. These last two games, by the way, their leading rusher, Austin Ekeler, 31 yards in this game, 36 yards the previous game. So just have zero run game to speak of at this point in time. All right, Buck, you saw an interesting one there with the Giants and the Jags. I think Giants might be the most surprising team thus far. The Jags, a team that you cover on a weekly basis, continue to be competitive in these games, just couldn't quite get it done to win the ball game. But what was your takeaway seeing this one live?
So my takeaway is these teams are really, really close, but there's one team that knows how to win while the other team is learning how to win, in the Jaguars. With the Giants, I think it was very impressive to watch them up close and personal, because DJ, it's one thing to appreciate the way that they've been winning from afar, but to see it play out in front of you is different. This is a team that they can run the football, they're physical, but the most important thing about the Giants, they know exactly who they are, and they don't deviate away from their identity. Saquon Barkley could not move the ball the first three quarters of the game. The fourth quarter, when they needed it, he got loose. But the guy who was able to carry the offense while Saquon was figuring it out was Daniel Jones. And not Daniel Jones the passer, but Daniel Jones the playmaker, running zone reads, running designed quarterback runs, using his feet when the pocket broke down. Daniel Jones is a very effective dual threat playmaker, had 300 scrimmage yards. And I'm not ready to put him in that same category as Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, but he is one of the best dual threat playmakers that we've seen at the position. Credit Brian Daboll for utilizing his entire skill set to get the fourth year pro up and running, because he's playing well.
Yeah, and Bucky, you know, looking at what the Jaguars were able to do, I was obviously watching this one pretty closely on the set of Game Day Live on the early edition in this yesterday. And, you know, as Jags go down and score on their first possession, they answer the Giants score. And you're like, all right, like this kind of feels like maybe a little bit of a back and forth game. And, you know, you look at the final numbers and you're like, all right, Trevor Lawrence threw for 300 yards. Travis Etienne ran for over 100, almost at like 10 yards a pop, obviously had a big one in there mixed in. And yet they only put up 17 points. So when you look at this, Bucky, from the Jaguars offensive perspective and knowing that the head coach is, you know, calling the plays and a guy that's obviously very much in tune with what's going on offensively, like, where do you feel like the points need to come from? Why haven't they been there? And like, are there signs of progress offensively that lead you to believe that they might find a way to kind of get this thing clicking once you get into the second half of the season?
You know, it's funny you bring that up, Red, because it's the same issue every week. They're so close to being a really, really good team and a really good offense, yeah. But they're the self-inflicted mistakes that hurt them. So Travis Etienne is running like crazy, has a red zone opportunity where he's about to go into the end zone. He fumbles it through the end zone for a touchback. Right. This is a team that gets in the red zone. They have first and 10 from the 14-yard line, three straight incompletions, having to settle for a field goal. So the combination of self-inflicted mistakes and red zone inefficiency is preventing the Jaguars from maximizing their talent. This is one of those moments where they have to keep learning these hard lessons. But at some point, they're going to knock the door down. And when they unlock their potential, this is a team that's going to be a really good team in the National Football League.
And as good as the news is right now for the 6-1 Giants, I just look at this team and I look at their personnel. It's only going to get better. They're only going to add more pieces and more playmakers. And they're going to figure out whether Daniel Jones is the guy going forward and how to build around him. If he is that guy, if he's not the guy, they're going to get somebody else. But this is a 6-1 team that's not a complete football team right now. And that tells you you've got the right head coach. You've got the right general manager there as well. So things are looking up there for the Giants. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and look at the – yeah, go ahead, Rhett. What do you got?
Well, I was just saying the one thing to watch, though, for the Giants is, like, you know, they're a team that has some good talent right in that top 22. You wonder a little bit about the depth, and we started to see that in this game. Evan Neal was out and was ruled out very quickly in this game back in the first half. Same with Ben Bredesen, the right guard. So, you know, can they still maintain that dominant run game if they've got to shuffle some pieces around on the offensive line? Just something to follow for the Giants moving forward.
I appreciate you putting on your blue polo to talk about the Giants as well. If we get Rhett to coordinate the polo with the team that we're talking about, or the quarter zip, that would
come on
to the next level. That looks like it was issued by the Giants equipment staff right there. That's how blue that thing is. That's impressive. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about the battle for the AFC South and what that looks like right after this.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boog. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my day, bro.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50. And it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi on a network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls. Finish up that presentation or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
All right, it's time for Battle at the Line, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. And I guess this should be titled Battle Behind the Line today, because we've got a quarterback change in Indianapolis, guys. We were all scheduled to talk about that game between the Titans and the Colts, all ready to go on that. And literally moments ago, it just came down. Frank Reich has announced that Sam Ehlinger is going to start at quarterback for the Colts. This is not an injury situation with Matt Ryan. He has been benched, and this is not a one-game audition. This is for the remainder of the season. They have given the keys to the Colts offensive car to their former six-round pick, their recent six-round pick, who's not played a hasn't started a game in the NFL. So they're off and running. They have ripped the Band-Aid off, Buck. They are done with Matt Ryan. You were there and saw him in person, a week ago? And now that's over.
It's amazing, because a week ago he threw it over 50 times, leads them to a win with a teardrop pass to Alec Pierce to win it. And now I'm hearing that, he's done. He's done for the year, that Sam Ehlinger is going to be the starting quarterback, not just against the Commanders, but for the rest of the season. To me, this doesn't sound like a move that was done by the coaches. This sounds like this was something that was above their pay grade. And so maybe they want to see what Sam Ehlinger can bring to the table as a franchise quarterback. But it doesn't make any sense to me that they're getting rid of Matt Ryan. They're putting him out of the pasture, because this offensive line underperformed. They don't have high-end playmakers on the outside. So, yeah, Matt Ryan can be the scapegoat. But the issues for the Colts extend well beyond number two at quarterback.
Yeah, I'm just looking here, guys, real quick. I'm just trying to find which veteran aging quarterback that the Colts are going to go after this offseason.
Next year?
I don't see it just yet. I mean, why go get Matt Ryan? Like, what has he shown this year that is that much that different than what we've seen in the last couple of years in Atlanta? Like, I don't know that he's been marginally worse. And have you really done enough to get the most out of him? Jonathan Taylor carried the ball 10 times in this game. I mean, Matt Ryan threw it 40 plus times in this game. This is like really surprising to me, just from like an organizational standpoint moving forward this early in the season, from a philosophical standpoint offensively, like with the way you want to run your offense. Like, it must just be like just the lack of mobility from Ryan in the pocket, like just hampering what you really want to do and your ability to get out of trouble. Like, that seems to me to be the biggest thing. Like, I don't know. It's hard to put a finger on this, just with the way that they've gone and tried to attack defenses, the amount of times they put the ball in Matt Ryan's hands. It doesn't feel like that's the way this offense should run. Like, we were about to talk about this game, this Colts Titans game, which, by the way, was a battle for first place in the AFC South. And I was going to say, like, the Colts should be operating more like the Titans operate. They should look more like the Titans. They've got a running back that's on the same level as Derrick Henry, the last two rushing champs in the NFL. Yet Henry carries the ball 30 times, which helps minimize, you know, what Ryan Tannehill has to do in that Titans offense. Whereas Jonathan Taylor and the Colts, they handed off to him 10 times in this game. And he, you know, 5 yards a carry. I get it. He's still coming back from injury, but I don't know. None of it really matches up to me, DJ.
Well, I'm looking at it right now, Rhett. And first of all, on the bottom of the screen, you see Matt Ryan, 9 touchdowns, 9 picks. No bueno. I'm looking at sacks this year. They've allowed 24 sacks, second most in the league. So I've got a sitting duck at quarterback.
Yeah.
He can't move. Your offensive line has not played well. They've got holes up there. So you got a quarterback that can't move. You've got some receivers, as Buck mentioned. Like, when you look at Pierce and Pittman and Paris Campbell, they've got some guys. They should be able to generate some explosives, especially if they could get the run game going. And I think one of the things that's going to help the run game is Sam Ellinger. I went back and looked at my college report on him, and I did not have a big grade, full disclosure on him. But the positives, he was excellent in the RPO game. We know Frank Reich. We know that he loves that. You think about Doug Peterson. Buck sees that on a good weekly point. Basis. That's a big component of what they do. Quarterback run game you can mix in. Ellinger did that a ton at Texas. He's going to complement the run game there with Jonathan Taylor. And he's going to be able to bail you out when you get your butt kicked up front, which is happening every single week. Matt Ryan's just sitting there. He's done. The play's over. And we've seen back-footed interceptions. We've seen him just take
sacks.
That's
got to be what it is.
He has no answers. And that's where the league is. Like, if you want to play with a pocket passer, we talked earlier about Tom Brady. What's wrong with Tom Brady? Well, they're not great up front. They lost all three of their interior guys, and you've got an immobile quarterback. It doesn't work well. Aaron Rodgers, they can't run the ball. Their offensive line's been in shambles, and even though he can move around better than those guys, he doesn't move around like he used to. So that's why this wave of quarterbacks has gone to more mobile players. The league, Buck, and you can jump in on this, every year when we do the draft, we look at the number of defensive linemen coming in. We look at the number of offensive linemen coming in. It doesn't match up. There's more defensive talent up front than there is offensive talent. I think it's one of the reasons why offense as a whole in the league right now is way down. Because the play up front is not good. It's just not good. And that you had no answers to solve those problems with Matt Ryan.
Yeah, a few different things come to mind when I think about this. One, I feel like the Colts didn't do Matt Ryan justice in terms of they brought him in, but they didn't necessarily play the right way. At 37 years of age, you're not supposed to carry an offense. You're supposed to be the guy that makes a handful of plays on an offense that runs through somebody else, namely the running back. Secondly, let's get to the point where when we're evaluating the quarterback position, if you don't have mobility, it's going to be tough for you to play in the National Football League. I'm not saying that every quarterback needs to be an A-plus runner, but if you don't have that in your bag, you don't have that club in your bag, it's going to be hard to play in the National Football League with these superheroes that are playing on the defensive line. And third, if you're an offensive coordinator, you better look at the college game and have some of these concepts available to use with your quarterback. RPOs, design quarterback runs, read option plays. You need to have those things to slow down what they're doing defensively to attack the running game. You better have all of this stuff together, because if not, you're not going to be able to have an effective offense, because the game has shifted and we're in the middle of an evolution at the position.
And DJ, I get your points and they make a lot of sense. He's a sitting duck back there. And when he does get pressure, that's when the turnovers have come, and there's far too many to win football games coming out of the right hand of your quarterback. But what did you expect from Matt Ryan? Like, you already knew the last couple of years that he can't get out of trouble in the pocket. That's not his game, right? And yet you still go and you're going to spend third round pick, I think, to send to the Falcons to bring him over. He's got a huge cap number next year. You know, maybe you can find ways around that, but it just felt like in a way you're kind of getting, you know, what you expected in a certain sense. With Matt Ryan running this offense the way that they're choosing to play. So that's just a thought there.
Well, I'm looking at their schedule and I'm seeing Washington, and we know what their defensive front in terms of talent with Montez Sweat and company can do.
Yeah.
New England, who's going to be able to blitz you and do the things Bill Belichick does, followed by Vegas with Max Crosby and company, followed by Philadelphia and their waves of defensive linemen. Like, it's not, they can't play like this. It ain't going to work. And they've got to find a way to get the ship righted. They got to find a way to do something offensively, because it hasn't worked, guys. And the other thing is, sooner or later, Chris Ballard is going to have to, you know, plug his nose, cross his fingers and toes, and draft one of these quarterbacks, you know, high. At some point in time, you got to take the plunge, because guys like Matt Ryan and you know, even Phillip at the end of his career, those guys are available for a reason, yeah, because they're not the same guys that they were when they were a little bit younger. Carson Wentz was another example.
Yeah, DJ, I'm gonna steal your host title for a second as we transition into the college takeaways, because I think you set the table perfectly there. I was going to talk about one of the players I saw live in the Indiana-Rutgers game, and Rutgers safety Christian Izian, who's a ball-hawking dude. But let's just get right into the college takes, because if I'm a Colts fan, you should be paying close attention to the Ohio State-Penn State game, big noon kickoff, C.J. Stroud there. You should also be paying attention to the Kentucky Wildcats for the rest of the season with Will Levis at quarterback. You want to see what Alabama's doing. And then, you know, I think there's a number of options in this draft for Chris Ballard, as you mentioned. Like, it's time. It's time to put the stop gaps aside. It's time to take whatever capital you have and find yourself in a position, get yourself in a position to make a play for one of the top quarterbacks in this class. I think we can all give the Colts a bit of a pass for not going all in last year in what was a weaker quarterback class overall. But now it's time. There's plenty of options for you to choose from. I would say first round, second round, there's going to be plenty of quarterbacks available to be one of those guys that you can count on for years to come.
No doubt. That's a good way to put it. It's a good way to wrap the show. I know we went long today, but this breaking news kind of got us talking a little bit. So we went a little bit long there. Rhett's going to save the breathtaking take he had on that Rutgers player for next week's show. So tune in for that one. I appreciate you guys. You can find us on NFL's YouTube, NFL.com, the NFL channel, and the NFL app. Until then, we'll see you next time right here on Move the Sticks.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world. They just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
All episodes available now on Prime Video.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.